Thank you, Miss Jennifer Woods. Let me move this. This has been a little bit of a crazy morning for me, as you can expect. Mind if I catch my breath for just a second? If you are visiting with us, or maybe you visited with us a few weeks ago, a month ago, and there was someone else standing here in this position at this time, just to let you know, I haven't done this in a while. Pastor Steve Washburn, who's our senior pastor, has had a heart procedure. They've replaced his heart valve. Is Linda still here? She might have gone. They've replaced his heart valve with a cow valve. So we're going to make jokes about that when he comes back. But he's doing well. I want to give you an update on that real quick. He's doing really, really well. He's recovering well. He's had some really good doctors, some good physicians. But beyond that, we have been talking to the great physician. So he's in good hands. But I want to give you that update. I am Tom Cotter. If you're visiting with us, I typically do worship here in the second hour with Second Mile. It's a great ministry team. We've done a lot of things. I need to give a shout out to Kelly Sonsvold for orchestrating some of our service projects this summer we did where we fed. Yeah, you can clap it up for that. Not to just be a band who plays music, but being out in the community and serving and reaching and feeding people and doing those kinds of things. Also, I have been involved with overseeing and working with the student band who was just up here a while ago. We can give them a hand. They are a great group to be working with. I'm also, those of you, some of you know me as the family pastor. Over across the street in our Sunday school department, we do things with family ministry and young couples who have just had babies or newlyweds who don't have babies yet or people who have kids at home, that kind of thing. One update I want to give you real quick is with Backpack Friends. We, a few years ago, I helped start this backpack ministry where we did school supplies. We did things like shoes and notebooks and pencils and crayons and paper and lunch boxes. And that's kind of grown over the past few years into what now you see as Backpack Friends. And that is within a mile and a half of this spot that I stand in, there are elementary school children who don't eat. They're on free and reduced lunches during the school week, right? And so from Friday at lunch until Monday at breakfast, they may not have anything to eat. So with your help, this last school year, we've collected and bagged and delivered over 1,000 bags of food for these children. So thank you, yeah. Thank you to the Lord for that. And like all good ministers, I also kind of just do whatever other duties that are assigned by Pastor Steve. That's kind of in our job description. So there's that. On a personal note, those of you who don't know me well, we're not friends on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Starbucks buddies. I don't know. I'm a coffee junkie. I tell people that fairy tales are true. Every morning I drink this potion made of magic beans and they wake me back to life. Coffee doesn't judge. It just understands. I'm a classic introvert, personality-wise. I'm not shy, but those of you who are extroverts, and you know who you are, being around large groups of people, being in fellowships and parties and scenarios where there are tons of people, that charges your batteries. I'm the opposite of that. I charge my batteries by myself and alone and in small groups and then that kind of thing. So just so you know, that's just kind of who I am. I am a self-proclaimed word nerd, and there's a reason I'm telling you this. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me see your hand. There's a reason I tell you this. Language fascinates me. Words are important, especially as we get into the scripture in just a second. The words we use, the words we choose, the words that have evolved to describe things have done so for a certain reason. And we need to choose those words carefully. For instance, let me give you a couple of my little quirks, so because they're going to come out. There are these things in the English language called anagrams, right? You can take word, you can take the letters in a word and scramble them up and make another word. Like the same letters that are in the word listen are also in the word silent. That's kind of cool. You can take the letters in Britney Spears and it spells Presbyterians. Did you know that? That's fact. I see some of your, like, what's this? You can take Pepsi Cola and scramble it up and it will spell Episcopal. But those are anagrams. There's also some little quirky things in our language called palindromes, right, where you can spell the same word backwards and forwards, right? Like Hannah Burke. Her name is Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H. Same backwards and forward, H-A-N-N-A-H. Race car. Those of you who are dyslexic, you probably want to tune out right about now. Race car, spelled forwards, R-A-C-E-C-A-R. Spelled backwards is R-A-C-E-C-A-R. Same thing. Do geese see God? Spelled backwards is D-O, it spells do geese see God, okay? Trust me. But words are really, they're important as we get into Scripture. There, you know this, there are two ways to spell one, there's three ways to spell two, and there's only one way to spell three, right? O-N-E-W-O-N, T-O, T-O-O, T-W-O, and just three. You can be overwhelmed. You can be underwhelmed. I've never met anybody who's just been whelmed. I'm not sure why. The word sincere, one of my favorite words, the word sincere comes from two Latin words, sine and sera, which means without wax. Yeah. And here's the reason. I feel like Sheldon. Y'all know Sheldon? You tracking with me? Okay. I feel a little bit like Sheldon. Thank you. Feel a little bit like Sheldon. But it means without wax. And here's the reason why. Because back in the day when Caesar would come to town, in Rome, people would come out of their homes and they would bring this silvery, whitish, translucent, clear, opaque kind of wax. And they would smooth it into the sidewalks and the steps and the cracks of the walls and the columns. And they would make it look like new. So that when Caesar came to town, he was impressed. Because everything looked great. But if you were one of the ones that didn't come out of your house to fix the sidewalks and the cracks, and you didn't put wax down, you were sine sera. You were without wax. You were sincere. Pretty cool. Think about this. The word beautiful means full of beauty. You can play along. The word careful means full of care. The word spiteful means full of, but we're using this word awesome when the word awful means full of awe. So when we talk about God and we use the word awesome, you and I connotatively know what that means, but literally, God is full of awe. You're going to leave here in about 25 minutes. And you're going to say, man, Tom's sermon, dude, that was awful. And I'm okay with either meaning of that, okay? I'm good. Because here's what you need to know. I want you to take your Bible. I want you to turn to Romans 11, 34 and 35. And we're going to get there in about 30 seconds. Here's what you need to know. When I was 9 years old, I gave my life to Christ, okay? We used to have these things back in the day when I was little, and some of you will remember this. We had these things at church called revivals. Remember those? And we would have an evangelist or a guest preacher come to town, and we would have a guest music guy come to town, worship leader, and we would have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. And it was called a revival. Well, on Sunday morning, this revival, we were actually at Emmanuel Baptist Church in White Oak, Texas. And on Sunday morning, this evangelist, his name was Ronnie Starr, preached, and I had lots of questions about God and Jesus and sin and the gospel and all that kind of thing. So after lunch, the pastor and the evangelist came to my house, and we sat around the little coffee table, and I gave my life to Christ. They explained things to me, and as best as I could, as much as I knew, I decided on that day, God, I want to follow you. I want to do my best to be a Jesus follower and to live for you as best as a 9-year-old can understand. So I started praying, and for 2 days I prayed, and I prayed, God, now that I'm your son, I need a new bike. I need a bicycle. So I prayed for 2 days for a bicycle, and in 2 days, I didn't get a bicycle, and I went to my mom and said, well, Mom, I don't understand what's going on. I'm crying. She's, what's wrong? I've been praying God for a bike, and God didn't give me a bicycle. My mom says, God doesn't work that way. Oh. Well, so how does he work? Well, God forgives you of your sins. Oh, well, great. So I left and I went next door and I stole my neighbor's bike, and then I just asked him to forgive me. And ever since that day, I've been trying to figure out God. You know, you see God do things, and you just don't quite understand. You've been there? So check this out. Romans 11:33 says this. It says, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. Get how rich those few words are? The depth of the riches. We could just stop right there. But the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How inscrutable his ways. You know what inscrutable means? Not knowable. Doesn't that make you feel good? For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? The NIV, if you have it, says, who knows how the Lord thinks? Who can become his advisor? This morning, I want you to see God as magnificent, which is a word that we get. It's almost a transliteration that comes straight from Latin, out of two words, which literally means great in splendor or great in knowledge. And that sounds like the God that we worship, the God that we follow, the God that we adore and chase after is a God who is great in splendor and great in knowledge, magnificent. When we got to talking about this, I'm going to be really honest with you this morning. We got to talking about this a few weeks ago when we knew that Pastor Steve was going to be out, and Daniel and Matt and I were talking. And McGinty pulls up this doxology in Romans and says, hey, this has been on my heart. I really like these verses. And we start reading through it. We're sitting in his office. We're reading through it. And McGinty says, man, I would really like to do creation. I mean, that really resonates with me. And God is awesome. And his creation, it's seen everywhere. And Matt Downing says, I think I could do God as the giver because he gives us good gifts. He's given us the greatest gift. And I sat there, and McGinty's laughing, I sat there and went, really? I'm having trouble with this verse because you guys are leaving me with the mind of God. So I started studying, I started searching, I started spending time specifically in Scripture searching the mind of God. And on my desktop across the street, I have a list of 138 verses that reference the mind of God, his knowledge, his omniscience, his vantage point, his perspective, his wisdom. And at number 138, I ran across 2 Corinthians 2:11 that says, nobody knows the mind of God. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, in about a month, I'm going to be standing in front of your people, and all I'm going to say is, hey, my Bible says we don't understand it, so we're going to go home. We'll see you tonight at Awana. No one understands the mind of God, not me, not Pastor Steve, not Einstein, not Stephen Hawking, nobody. And I'll be real honest with you, I think that I'm a pretty smart guy, I'm a pretty intelligent guy for a guitar player. I'm no Einstein, but I'm not a Kardashian, so... But I want to give you three things. Number one is that God's mind really scrambles my brain. Okay? God's mind scrambles my brain. Look at Psalm 139. This is a passage that's really familiar to a lot of us, but sometimes we blow past it. Lord, you have examined me and you know all about me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You know my thoughts before I think them. You know where I go and where I lie down. You know everything I do. That ought to be a sobering thought. Lord, even before I say a word, you already know it. Have you ever said something and as soon as those words left your lips, you went, oh, wait, come back. God knew it before it left my brain to get to my lips. You're all around me, in front and in back. You have put your hand on me. Your knowledge is amazing to me. It's more than I can understand. That's where my heart has been the last month. God, your knowledge is amazing to me. It is more than I can understand. Skip down to verse 17. God, your thoughts are precious to me. They are so many. If I could count them, they would be more than all the grains of sand. You know where the psalmist lived, right? Have you been to the Middle East? Have you seen the sand? If I could count them, there would be more than all the grains of sand. It boggles my mind, y'all, that God knows everything about me, the good, the bad, the ugly, the sin, the mistakes, the promises that I made and didn't keep. Some of y'all know this. This is not a big deal, but back in July, I put out a little CD, and I went and was singing around in some different places down south, and at one of the venues afterwards, this guy came up to me. I'm not going to say his name because we're recording, but he came up to me and he said, hey, aren't you like a preacher or something? And I said, well, yeah, I'm a pastor at First Baptist in Pflugerville, and I do worship and I do family ministry, and we got this backpack thing going on, and I'm talking. And he goes, wait, I don't care about any of that. What I want to know is, I don't understand how anybody would want to be a Christian. And I said, are you kidding me right now? He knows everything about me, all my failures, all the dark stuff I'm ashamed of that I'm not telling you about, and he is crazy in love with me. I'd be a fool to pass that up. And it scrambles my mind to think that God knows everything about me. His thoughts are too lofty for me. I don't understand it. I'm not going to get it. And he loves me anyway. Second thing is this. I want you to see this morning that God's mind stretches my world. Okay? It not just boggles what's between my ears, but it stretches my world. Guys, the past month, the closer I've drawn to him, the bigger he's become, the smaller I've gotten. And my world has gotten stretched. Do you realize everything that happens in a day? Today, take Sunday. Think about everything that's happening today around the world. In fact, I want you to watch this video real quick and get a little perspective. Somebody ought to write a song about that. That's pretty good. We live in a huge world. We live in a huge, fast-forward paced kind of place. But can I be honest? Don't we all kind of think we're pretty smart in our own eyes? When we look around at all the technology, all the things that are going on, all the things we can do, seemingly on our own. In 2001, we invented an artificial heart and an artificial liver. In 2005, somebody invented smart plastics that change shape according to what color or what light wavelength you shine on, what color of light, what wavelength of light shines on it. Those plastics will change shape. 2006, someone bred the first hypoallergenic cat. I'm still not sure about that. 2008, we developed smog-eating cement. In other words, we can take this cement and put it in an environment where there's air pollution, and that cement will absorb or eat 60% of the air pollution that's in the atmosphere. It's pretty impressive. We've discovered two more planets that are orbiting Pluto outside of Pluto's orbit, but still orbiting around our sun. Remember when Pluto wasn't a planet anymore? We kind of sent him home, put him in timeout. And then we decided, hey, I'll tell you what, Pluto, you can come back to the party. We'll let you in and we'll let you be a planet. Well, now we've discovered two more planets that are outside of Pluto's orbit. 4 years ago, I bought this computer. I found it on sale. And it has more computing power than the Apollo 13 that went to the moon. It's pretty amazing. Because not only is it powerful, but I can get any movie, any song, any picture I want to get. I can make my own home videos, and I can send it to my buddy in England who's a missionary. I can record on this and send a song that I just wrote to Sarah Kionuka in Uganda. I can surf the internet. But I can also buy a car, I can give money to my church, I can check my heart rate, my pulse, I can use GPS satellites to track anybody in this room. It's amazing. And what I hear, I haven't tried it, but they say you can make phone calls and you can talk to people. But isn't that crazy? More than the Apollo spacecraft. But God says in Psalm 147 that he counts the number of stars and he gives names to all of them. See, we can't even agree on how many planets are in our solar system. Not to mention not just our solar system, but the other solar systems that are out there, not just our universe, but the multiverse. But he gives names to all of them. Remember, it stretches my world. His mind stretches my world going out, but it also stretches my world going inward. And I'll tell you what I mean. And we just read Psalm 139 a while ago. I left out about four verses that are key, but I want you to see them. I want you to hear them. It says this in verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in a secret place. Your eyes saw my unformed substance." That's good. "And in your book were written all of my days before there was ever one of them that came to pass." Isn't that amazing? Do you know each day, your heart produces enough electricity to drive a truck for 20 miles? Did you know the acid in your stomach is strong enough to dissolve razor blades? Did you know your brain, that 2.5-pound, 3.5-pound lump between your ears, it has the potential to store 25 million gigs of data? For those of you who are not computer people, that's 300 years of HD video. Did you know that a full head of human hair is strong enough to hold 12 tons A full head of human hair can hold 12 tons. To put that in perspective, a full-grown male African elephant is about half of that. Do you know that when a pregnant woman suffers from heart failure, liver damage, lung failure, the fetus will send its own stem cells to the affected area of the mother's body to heal and restore that? Do you know that? That's called a baby, by the way. We don't even understand our own bodies. We can build these amazing things. We can build all this stuff. We can create amazing buildings. Can't build a butterfly. I was out jogging this last week, and going through my neighborhood, I went around the curve in the block and stepped off of the street onto the sidewalk because I couldn't see around the fence. Stepped onto the sidewalk, and I was running, and I felt this crunch. And I looked down, and I'd stepped on a cricket. And I kid you not, out of my mouth came, "We can't fix that." We are so smart in our own eyes. But it's like there's some secret things that we just can't, there's some stuff behind the curtain that's secret and we can't figure it out. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us. How about that? Lastly, there's this. God's mind, it also strengthens my faith. Does that make sense? When I struggle, there are things that I'm going to be real transparent. There are things I just don't understand. There are things that I have seen God do or not do that I don't get. Anybody else? You see things happen, or you pray and something doesn't happen. Or you look at a situation, you think, "God, why?" And I don't get it. But I will tell you this. He's been so faithful along the way in every other aspect that I've come to just trust him in the struggle, trust him that he who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. Job 34:21 says that his eyes are on me and he sees all of my steps. Matthew 6:7-8 says, "Your father knows what you need before you ask him." Matthew 10:30 says that the very hairs of your head are what? Numbered. I can't count the hairs on my head. Some of y'all I might could, but Matthew 6:31 says this. It says, "Don't worry, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink? What will we wear? Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." One of the greatest passages of Scripture that we have hung on to around this place comes out of Proverbs 3, and it's going to be real familiar to some of you. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." Man, you ever get to the point in your life where you need to be refreshed? Been there? God's mind also strengthens my faith. When I just don't understand. There are times, church, that I see what God does and I read his scripture and I struggle with understanding that. Then there are other times beyond that where I tap out and I say, "You know what? I'm not even gonna try to understand. God, I've been asking that question for years and I don't." Maybe it's one of those secret things that Deuteronomy talks about that's reserved for him. And I quit trying to understand, I just trust him. Let me give you a couple examples. If you want the full list, there's 138 of them across the street. Well, let me give you a couple examples. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is talking. And he says this to the church in Corinth. He's already written them one letter, and they're still having problems. So he writes them another letter. And in the second letter, he says, I know a man in Christ, I know a brother, I know a Christian, who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but he was caught up to the third heaven. And I know this man was caught up into paradise, and he heard inexpressible things that, inexpressible words, which man is not permitted to speak. What? How does that work? Acts 19 says God was doing these extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul. So much so, 19:11 says that his handkerchief healed people when it touched them, and that their diseases left, and that the demons were cast out of them when his handkerchief touched their skin. Was that in your Sunday school lesson? Because I don't ever remember studying that. I don't ever remember a pastor standing up and saying, here it is, and here's how we explain it. There are certain scriptures where we're going to get the answers when we get to heaven. And until that time, we're just going to trust him. I'll give you one more that I struggle with. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is tempted, right? You remember the story? He's led into the desert. He stands, and Satan says, throw yourself down. He says, bend down and worship me, bow and worship me. You remember that story? Verse 1 of chapter 4 in Matthew says that Jesus was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. I'm not sure I like that, because that means that at some point in my life, I may be led to a place by the Spirit to be tempted. And I realize that while that's for my edification, that's for the purpose of building me up, for making me strong, I'm not sure I'm looking forward to that. So there are times when I struggle with things in the scripture that I don't understand. There are other times when I just look at the scripture and say, God, I don't get it, but okay. Let me just say this. The longer I pursue Christ, the bigger he becomes, and the less I understand him. But I trust him. I don't always get it, but I know who does. We are such sheep. All we can say is bah. We get fleas, we bite, we kick, we scratch, we get lost, we get eaten by wolves. Man, we are totally helpless without our shepherd. Amen? Totally helpless. So there comes a point where God has to be so magnificent, so great in splendor, that we just say, God, I don't get it, but I trust you. Let me ask you this. We've seen him work. We've seen him work in our church. We've seen him work in our lives, in our jobs. We've seen him work in our schools. We've seen him work in our community. And there are those of us, just through seasons of life, you come to that point where God is asking you, okay, do you trust me? Maybe he's calling you to something new. Maybe he's calling you to something deeper. Maybe he's calling you for the first time to say, okay, God, I'm going to give you 100% of my life. Nothing held back. I'm all in. And we have those doubts. But he is so big, and he's so faithful, and he is so full of awe. And we've trusted him here, and we've trusted him here, and we've trusted him here. We got to trust him now. We don't get it, but we got to trust him. If I could understand him, And y'all could worship me. I don't want somebody like me. I want somebody who's got all of it in his hand. In the first service, they sang my favorite song of all times. Like, if you ever get in my truck, after I've been in it, what happens usually is a song comes on the radio. My boys know this song comes on the radio, and I turn it up. Oh, I love this song. And then the next song comes on the radio, and it's better, so you turn that one up. And then the next song is like the best song of all, and you crank it up, and you get out, and you go in the house. And then somebody else gets in your vehicle and cranks it up, and you hear, bah! And it's like, it blows them away. Because that last song that I heard was the greatest song. The greatest song, to me, is one we sang in the first service this morning. And it says this, it says, when peace like, I didn't know they were gonna do this. When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it's well. It's well with my soul. So here's my challenge to you this morning. I want you to see God as magnificent. He is huge. He is great in glory and splendor and knowledge. Whatever he's asking of you, go all in and just bet everything you have that he will be faithful. Does that make sense? Let's pray. Before we pray, the band's going to come up, and we're going to worship. But I want to ask you two questions. Number one, have you ever given your life to Christ? Has there ever been a time where you have decided, Lord, I'm going to trust you to the best of my ability, to the best thing that I know, as much as I can understand, I want to trust you. Maybe for you today, if that answer is no, maybe God's calling you to do that today. Don't leave this place. There will be guys down front. There will be counselors down front. You can talk with, pray with, if you have questions. But the second thing is this. Maybe God has been too small for you. And over the past few weeks, you've begun to realize how awesome he is, how magnificent he is. And you feel like he's calling you to do something. He's asking you for more. Today, I want to encourage you just to surrender. Just to say, God, whatever you ask, I'm going to do. I'm going to trust you. Father, as we pray, as we sing, would you reveal to us where you want us to be, what you want us to do? Would you help us be obedient, to follow, to trust you, whether it's for salvation, whether it's to join this church and be part of our fellowship, whether it's to turn over a part of our life to you that we've been holding back. We trust you. We trust you. We trust you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Stand with us.